Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to another Arseblog Arsecast, right here on arseblog.olayolay.com. This is about intro 65. I don't know how many of these I've done tonight. I've got a bit of a frog in my throat, and that's absolutely no slur on the French national team, I can tell you. If it's not the frog in my throat making things go funny, it's my mobile phone going off with text message alerts or me completely fucking up, which is most of it. But hope we find you well, because this is the first Arsecast in 2 weeks. Because we've been in the middle of an interlull. And the interlull being the interlull, nothing much has happened. The eye of the interlull is the same as the eye of the hurricane. Think of it like the hurricane, the rest of the hurricane is normal football season. But in the interlull, you don't see the garden benches and people flying by going, no. Nah. But we have been in the interlull. And of course, the essence of the interlull is international football. And what happens in international football? Nothing. It's boring and tedious and dull. And if only we could get some international football, for example, which was controversial, which had maybe a contentious decision, which sparked some outrage and hysteria. Imagine, that would make for a much more interesting interlull than the normal ones. Okay, so we had the whole handball Thierry Henry thing, which sparked some really amazing reaction, I have to say. Number one, because obviously Thierry Henry is not an Arsenal player anymore, but we seem to get the brunt of the criticism from certain quarters. At the end of the day, it was just handball, really. Games have been won and lost on worse decisions than that down through the years. But of course, I think because it's an interlull, it's all a bit quiet. And the reaction maybe from some Arsenal fans towards Thierry Henry, I haven't understood that. Yeah, you know, he shouldn't have handled the ball. It was definitely a handball. No doubt about that. He cheated. No doubt about that. But come on. He's a Barcelona player now. So let's aim our ire towards Barcelona or France, for example. Not that I should, you know, we should go out the whole thing. But all these Facebook groups and petitions and stuff like that over a handball in an international game seems a bit off to me. And then, of course, Ireland are looking for a replay. The FAI have said Ireland deserve to go through. We deserve to be in the World Cup. In fact, we deserve to win the World Cup. When, in fact, all Ireland deserved was a penalty shootout. You know, because we might not have won that penalty shootout. France might have scored in normal time. We might have scored in normal time. We, being Ireland, of course, might have scored in normal time as well. But, I mean, it's not as if Henry hadn't scored, Ireland were guaranteed a place in the World Cup finals. You still had to go through a penalty shootout. And, you know, when you're asking Robbie Keane and Paul McShane, for example, to take a penalty, you wouldn't be that confident, would you? And then tonight, what's even funnier is that the Irish government have got involved, which is the maddest thing of all time. The Minister for Justice was interviewed the morning after the match, today morning, depending on when you're listening to it, yesterday morning, of course. And he said, oh, we should have a replay. It's terrible. Sportsmanship, fair play, blah, 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 blah. You know, the usual bullshit. And tonight, which is not tonight when you're listening to this, but tonight last night when you're listening to this, because tonight when I'm recording it, there's stories over here about how our Taoiseach, Brian Cowan, is going to have words with Nicolas Sarkozy. And they're talking about there being a diplomatic incident. A diplomatic incident. Over whether or not we get a replay to a game. Now, look, it wasn't fair, but it happened. If you start replaying games because referees don't see things, well then every fucking game is going to be replayed, don't you think? Every single game, because the ref doesn't see something in every game, or he makes a bad decision, or gives a free kick the wrong way, or a throw in that might lead to a goal when it should have been a throw into the other team. Where does it stop? And then you have to sort of ask why it is the Irish government at the moment are involved in this kind of thing. Because, how would I put this? The Irish situation, or the situation in this country at the moment, is that we are up shit creek without a paddle, to use a colloquialism. Except not only do we not have a paddle, we don't even have hands to propel ourselves along up this particular creek. We're trying to maneuver our way up the creek or down the creek, whichever way you're going, with uncauterized bloody stumps where our hands have been hacked off. That's how up the shit creek we are. We have a health service that isn't worth fucking shit. You get people, right? Ladies who are going to hospital and they say, no, you don't have any breast cancer, you're fine. And then about 9 months later they go, sorry about that. You do have a bit of breast cancer. Oh, you're dead. That's what our health service is like. And we've got unemployment. We've got public versus private sector workers. They're at each other's throats because of potential budget cuts, which all suits the government, of course, because it's easier to have the public sector and private sector fighting each other instead of being together and fighting the government, right? Strikes on the horizon. Immigration. We've got a budget next month, which is going to pretty much buttfuck everybody. Social welfare cuts, tax on this, tax on that, tax increases all over the place. And the Irish government is involved in a diplomatic incident over a game of football. Bravo. Bravo. You know what I mean? It's all gone a bit too far, if you ask me. Wasn't the best way to lose. France will admit it wasn't the best way to win. But let's just leave it where it is. That's what I think. And it's just another reason why international football should be completely outlawed, I think. When you have governments getting involved with it, you know. Anyway, I seem to have lost a run of myself a little bit here. I haven't even told you what's coming up on the show. In a moment, in a very short moment, Good Player from goodplayer.com to talk about various stuff. As well as that, Sylvester will be along. We'll be talking to I won't be talking. He will be talking at you. The penis of William Gallas. We'll be looking ahead to the game at the weekend. Sunderland, team news on the way. Who's fit, who's not. And in the spirit of coldness and interlulls and everything else, I've been doing my best, I've got a Savile Rogue scarf to give away to somebody. 100% cashmere, red and white, brilliant scarf. That's coming up a little bit later on the show, so stay tuned for that. Right, okay, well, we better get on and talk about football, I suppose. And with me now to discuss all that is Good Player from goodplayer.com. Hi there. Thierry Henry. I know he's not an Arsenal player anymore, but given the fact it's an interlull and it involved him, this incident against Ireland, I suppose we're all talking about it. Can you understand all the fuss and maybe the suggestions that Henry's time as an Arsenal player has somehow been tainted by what happened against Ireland?
Can I understand all the fuss? Yes, I can. It was a massive, massive game. It was like the World Cup itself, and it was dramatic. It was one of those moments where you'll remember where you were when you watched it, of course. I can understand the fuss. It's inevitable. Has it tainted his status as an Arsenal player? Don't quite follow that one, if I'm perfectly honest. By that account, Paul Scholes' status as a Man U player tainted after his handball in the final minute of a Champions League game last year, which went in. Mm-hmm. The referee actually spotted it with a blatant handball. The referee sent him off for a second booking. I don't think, not even I claim that Paul Scholes is a cheat, is a malicious player. He can't find a tackle, but I don't think he's a cheat. And so I don't quite see how that follows with Thierry Henry. I think Thierry Henry, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We're all human. We all make mistakes. I think he cheated, fair and simple. I think that's true. Is he a persistent cheat? No, I don't think he ever was. I think his sportsmanship was quite good. In fairness, he does have this sense of injustice, which is often misplaced, I think, and I think that's what got to him on this occasion. But really, some of the reaction has been pathetic, really. And you wonder what some of these people are like in their home lives if they're willing to judge someone so readily after one incident like that.
Is it a symptom of the interlull that because there's nothing else going on, incidents like this get blown up to incredible proportions? But for me, it was kind of ironic, maybe isn't the word, but I can't quite think of the word I'm looking for, that the English press are so defensive of what happened to Ireland, given the fact that the English press and Ireland have had some history down the years. And the last time there was an interlull, or maybe it was the one before that, just before that we had the game where Eduardo's dive took place, and that sort of dominated the headlines because there really was nothing else to talk about.
No, I don't think it's an interlull thing. I think last night was a big game. It was a game that I went out of my way to watch. Kind of didn't bang a Sky at home at the moment. I actually went to a pub to watch it because I really wanted to watch it. I think the thing is that when England qualified, I think it's very easy for English press support whoever to kind of support the other nations, and obviously not a Republic of Ireland, not a home nation in any way whatsoever. But you know what I mean. The other countries nearby, and support them in a way because they're underdogs, and if for some reason they like to see them do well. So I don't think there's any irony in that. I think also, in fairness, there's none of us really want to see cheating, and it was cheating. And in fairness, France shouldn't really have been needing to cheat to get their way through that game. Mm. So I can understand it, but I just think some of the reaction is extraordinary. People like Miles Palmer. I mean, it seems like this is a guy who didn't seem to get a single ounce of joy from watching Thierry Henry play for 8 years for Arsenal, in which case I can only say I'm sorry for you, because for the rest of us, it was quite fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's it. How can you call a guy who did so much for Arsenal the scum of the earth, a cheating, lying scumbag? I mean, I don't know, maybe you suspect there's other agendas at work there.
Quite possibly. I just think Henry did cheat, he shouldn't have done it. But, why don't someone ask Paul Scholes about how these things can happen very, very quickly in the heat of a moment? And I'm sure Henry won't look back on it with any pride. I think the interesting thing was that he actually had that burning sense of injustice. If you look at it just before the goal, there was a penalty shout on Anelka that wasn't given, that Henry thought was a penalty. Mm. There was a Govu goal, which was actually brilliantly ruled out. And, I mean, you have to respect the linesman for that, because it was one of those scissors ones where he very easily could have given it. And Henry clearly didn't think the decision was right, because he whacked his finger in that way, he does. When the free kick was given in the build-up to the goal, you saw him applaud, ironically, very, 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 very obviously, almost begging the referee to book him. I thought the referee was going to book him, he didn't. And so you could see that burning sense of injustice in him. The one he had against Newcastle when we lost 3-1 at home, and he started ranting at the referee on the way off. And I don't think it's one of his most endearing feats. I don't even think it's one that particularly got him anywhere over the years. I don't think he became a better player when he had that burning sense. I think that's probably what drove him. I think he was almost lost control momentarily last night.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, we'll leave it there. And I'm not sure that my memories of Thierry as an Arsenal player are affected in any way by what happened. The interlull itself, it's been a little bit costly because we've had injuries. Obviously, Kieran Gibbs, the news is quite good about him. It's not going to be as long as we thought. No broken metatarsal, and I think in the left-back position, it's probably where we've got the most cover. But Robin van Persie obviously is going to be a big miss because not only the form he was in, but he at the moment seemed to be the only one who was capable of playing that centre-forward role, particularly with Bentner out. Eduardo was just signed a new deal. Time for him to step up.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd say that he's the only one capable of playing that centre-forward role, Van Persie. I think he's just been playing it very well and he's been fit.
I mean, of who's available at the moment. That's
sure.
What I mean.
Sure. No, I think, look, I'm slightly more relaxed about this than a lot of people are. Strikers get injuries, people get injuries, it happens. We're now reliant on Eduardo, who's Croatia's number one striker, regarded by most people as a very, very good footballer. And he's unproven in that lone role up front, but I don't think at the start of the season, if you took the people who's more suited to that role, Van Persie or Eduardo, I think it would have been a toss-up, frankly. Mm. I think given time, he might not prove himself there, he might not work there, but if Van Persie could, I don't see why Eduardo can't in a slightly different way. And then you look and, Bentner might be out, but you can jig things around a little bit. You've got Walcott coming back, Bella's fit. I mean, personally, people say, where's Bella been, etc. He's always been injured. Fair enough, but played a couple of times this season. He's actually played quite well. Played well in the Champions League away to Alkmaar, I think it was, when he came on. So the interesting thing about the injuries to me is that, you know, I think they have been kind of blown up by the Interland a little bit. I saw the Kieran Gibbs injury referred to being a devastating blow to Arsene Wenger. Now, I suspect that if Kieran Gibbs has got any sense of modesty, and I suspect he does because he seems a very level-headed young man whenever he speaks, he probably chuckled to himself when he read that. You know, I think our third choice left back is a guy who played supports for all of last season, admittedly further up the field. Our fourth choice left back is a guy with two Champions League medals, a load of other stuff. Not the ideal player, but hey, the fourth choice is not bad. And then, of course, you could always just move backwards down here for left back and put a Bouet right back. So, you know, I'm not quite sure it's the end of the world. And I think the very interesting thing about the injuries is that in no position do we actually look kind of down to the Harry Redknapp's proverbial bare bones, which is ironic slightly because one injury in central defence and things would look a bit shaky there, and an injury to Alex Song and things would look a bit shaky there, albeit the Nielsen bat this weekend.
We will be tested, though, no doubt, over the coming coming month, because I think between now or the game against Sunderland and then I think the 19th of December, which is the final game before the Christmas break, we've got 9 games. So it averages at a game every 3 days, more or less. With players out, you know, there are maybe going to be one or two coming back, like Walcott, for example. It is going to test the squad, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it will certainly test the squad, but I mean, you get tested over the course of the season. I personally think, you know, on the attacking front, the winger front, attacking front, you know, we just have an abundance of players. I mean, it's quite fantastic, really. I saw a piece today saying, should Wenger bought Chanak? Well, you know, if Chanak might have got a chance, as Seth there, or if he wouldn't have, because as well that would have played. But Chanak up until now would have been kicking his heels. Mm. would have played two Carling Cup games, frankly, if we're honest. I mean, that's with all due respect to him, but I just can't see how he would have got games. If you look at the people who struggle to get games, and Wenger, I think it's probably fair to say Wenger's had to massage and manage the injury situation slightly so that he's never left one of his, had to drop, if you like, out of the squad entirely, one of his main first 8 choice forwards, as he has. But, you know, so I think we would be tested. I think central defence and defence in this field for me are the really key areas, frankly. And that's, you know, so getting an injury at central defence. And that's a test. I mean, I know you're a fan of Sven Dawson. I think, you know, I don't think Sven Dawson's a bad player, but I think it would test us. I think that's fair to say.
I'd agree with that. Looking ahead very briefly to the weekend and midweek, Sunderland under Steve Bruce seem a much improved team. Darren Bent has sort of been released from his shackles at Spurs and is scoring quite well.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Midweek then, Standard Liège. Where we could, I mean, we have to get, I think, a point to assure ourselves of winning the group. Confident that we can pick things up where we left off?
I think so. The attitude seemed right. I didn't feel that we were getting lucky in recent games. I thought we were playing quite well. We weren't brilliant at Wolves for the first part by all accounts, but yeah, I think we can pick things up. There certainly seems to be determination in the squad. You felt last season that sometimes when things were going well for us, you know, like after that 2-1 win at Chelsea, you know, despite kind of you kind of sympathised with that guy in the toilet who came up to Wenger after the game and told him, you know, great win, but we're not going to do anything this season. Because you kind of hate to say it, but you did know where he was coming from. I think this season it does feel up until now a little bit different. And so I'm not too pessimistic. You never know what will happen, though. It's been a strange season already. Luckily, we haven't drawn too many games.
All right, Good Player from goodplayer.com. We better leave it there. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you to Good Player, and he'll be back on another Arsecast in the very near future. Still to come, we've got team news ahead of this weekend's game against Sunderland. Some players are in, some players are out. We'll give you details of that in the very near future, as well as that, a chance to win a scarf from Savile Rogue, which is, of course, the finest football scarf that you could possibly own. So stay tuned for that. We'll give you the details of how you can win in just a few moments' time. Now, though, Sylvester.
Hello, everyone. It's me again, Sylvester. The place in the first team, it is nearly man. Gael Clichy, he has the injury. Kieron Gibbs, he has the injury. Then there is only Armand Traore. After that, I play every week. That is why this week I went out and bought some material for my own Armand Traore voodoo doll. Night after night, I've sat there putting pins in it. One pin, another pin, another pin. But don't feel sorry for me. I quite like pricking young boys over and over. Oh, baby!
Now, you know, Sylvester, the guy that did the song there, Do You Want to Funk, and many other songs too. I mean, he was a real disco king? King? I think that's the word I'm looking for. But if one of those stories had gone around about Sylvester, in the same way they went around about, for example, Mark Almond, everyone heard that Mark Almond story. Taken to hospital, stomach pumped, it was full of jism. Urban myth, of course. Like Stevie Nicks with the old, you know, up the old, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you do anyway, and those of you that don't, just Google it. I'm sure it's there somewhere. But Sylvester's the kind of guy that if, you know, you'd have heard a story about him in the past, and oh, he was going to do a concert, and he slipped on stage during one of his Disco King dance moves. And he sprained his ankle really, really badly. And then he was supposed to do a gig. And how was he going to do it? Because his ankle was all swollen. And someone says, do you know what he did? And you go, no. Did he put ice on it? No. He went to this mad woman. And she smeared placenta all over his ankle. And within days, it was fixed. And he was able to get up on stage and dance and do his routines. And you go, you know what? Sylvester is just the kind of guy, I'm talking Sylvester, the artist, he's just the kind of guy who would do that, who would allow somebody to smear placenta into his ankle. But Robin Van Persie, he's gone off to Serbia to do that. Strikes me that, you know, if you can, why go to Serbia? If there's placenta treatment, surely you just need to get a placenta and do it. It seems a long way to go. But anyway, he's going to get placenta rubbed into his strained ankle ligaments, and apparently it'll get him back sooner, which is good news for us. But I'm a little dubious as to the healing power of placenta smeared into one's swollen ankle. I mean, not that we have a great deal of experience. I mean, imagine if it turns out to be true that it's brilliant. And how many times have, if you've played football, and I'm sure you've done this, you've twisted your ankle or gone over on your ankle, and you go, ah, that's so sore. And you go, I'm not stopping, though. I'm going to run it off. The whole run it off thing. Instead, you're going to run it into the ground. And so you get home and you take your boot off, and there's this purple, swollen mess at the end of your leg. But what if you could go to the pharmacy and say, I'll have two placentas, please. How do you apply these? Or a little bit of hot water and stick them in? And what if different placentas had different effects? Are we talking human or cow or dog? Like, could a Labrador placenta have a better effect on your ankle than, I don't know, a Doberman, for example? I suspect a Doberman placenta would be better than a Labrador placenta. The worst placenta would probably be a boxer dog placenta, because that's like, it's like rubbing stupid into your foot. So maybe you could get those in pharmacies. But that's Robin Van Persie. He's going to get placenta rubbed into his ankle to make him feel better. And Arsene Wenger was talking about the injuries to himself and Kieran Gibbs. He was a little bit worried, as you were. You know, when we all saw the footage there on Saturday, we were going, oh, that's end of season. It was brilliant. The minute he got injured, there were stories going out. 2 months out, 3 months out, the rest of the season, Robin Van Persie's football career is over after, you know. And how does anyone know? It's the way they did this thing with Schumacher. Arsene Wenger is considering making a move for Schumacher now that Robin Van Persie is going to be out for the next 9 months. But how did they know? It was Saturday night. Nobody rang him up. Nobody has a direct line to Arsene's brain. It's so fiction. It really is. But of course, Arsene is rather relieved that Robin's only going to be out for 6 months. And he says, you know, he'll be a little bit fresh when he comes back. He says it's a disappointment and we didn't want it, but, you know, he'll be fresh when he comes back, which is true. I wonder, does placenta only work on ankles? Like, if you know, if you go to sleep funny one night and you go to sleep with your hand above your head because you've had a few too many beers, and then you wake up the next morning and your neck is like, oh, fuck, I can't turn to the left here because my neck. What if you got a big load of placenta and it's like smeared it on your neck? Would it help? Why is nobody else doing this placenta treatment? Why is it only for ankles? We need to get to the bottom of this placenta thing a bit more, I think. I could be wrong, but, you know. They're kind of big, you know. People eat them and stuff, which is weird. Because it's full of nutrients and... No, thank you. No, thank you. But I'd smear one on my calf if I had a calf strain, which I do at the moment. But I'll stick to using deep heat. I can't find placenta in the pharmacy here, you know. Mad.
Hello, I am the penis of William Gallas. I have to tell you, this week I am feeling very tired. 120 minutes against Ireland. I can tell you it take a lot out of you. They have such incredible spirit. They run around a lot. Very physical and, of course, they all smell like Guinness. Apart from Robbie Keane. He smell like old lady's piss. And now is not the time to tell you how I know what old lady's piss smells like. The goal, I know that the Irish, they are a bit upset, but these things happen in football. You have to take your chances when they come. Ireland did not do that. And France, even though we did not play very well, when the opportunity came, I was there to win the game for my country. I know what came before, but what could I do? I did not have any choice. After all, it's not often you get a hand job from Thierry Henry.
You know, I don't even want to think about whether or not the penis of William Gallas uses placenta. If he gets injured, what if he sprains his ankle, the penis? Would he use placenta on his ankle penis? Penis ankle? Not really important, is it? We should move on and talk about something else because we've got lots of football coming up. Between now and the 19th of December, we've got 9 games. That's a game every 3.22222242683 days. But more or less a game every 3 days, as I was saying to good player earlier on. We've got Sunderland at the weekend, then Standard Liège midweek, then Chelsea next weekend. Chelsea. That's going to be fun. But we've got to look forward to Sunderland. And, you know, they're playing well this season. They've beaten Liverpool. They've drawn with Manchester United. They should have beaten Manchester United. Let's face it, United got an equaliser in the last few seconds of injury time. And it was a deflection from that big, huge cunt Evra. So it doesn't really count in the grand scheme of things. On paper, yes, it counts. But it was an accident. So Sunderland have beaten Liverpool and should have beaten United, so we can't take them lightly by any means. Team news is, of course, Van Persie and Kieran Gibbs are out. We know that. Abu Diaby is out. Theo Walcott is out. But both of them might be back for the Chelsea game. Jack Wilshere is out. That's bad news. Johan Giroud, we know, is out. However, some returnerators. We've got Lukasz Fabianski is back. Carlos Vela is back. Danielson is back. And Armand Traore is back. It'll be interesting to see what he does at left back. Will he put Traore in? Does he look at Sylvester as just cover for the centre halves, or will he play him at left back? I have a feeling Sylvester is going to play this weekend at left back, which doesn't necessarily bode well for Armand Traore if he's fit, but I could be completely wrong about this. Vela being back is good news as well, because we need him, even though he doesn't add much to the physicality of our forward play. You know, Bentner and Van Persie are probably the two biggest and obviously the most physical of our forwards. Vela's another little kind of scrawny little fella, you know, that if you're a centre-half, you look at him and go, he's going to be quite quick, but if I boot him, you know, he's not going to like that. You know, with Arshavin, with Eduardo, with Nasri Rozitski and the whole lot. So good to see him back, though. I thought he was gone forever, honestly. I thought he'd been taken away by the Mexican mafia, and they were looking for huge money for him, and we just weren't prepared to pay it. Few chips in the Carling Cup is not worth the money they were looking for. But no, it's not true. He was just injured, and he is back. So, we'll look forward to that game. And those are the names that are back in the squad, on top of everyone else. Free-scoring Cesc Fabregas, Andre Arshavin is in there, and all the rest. So, you know, it should be good this weekend. I don't know what else to say. That's just about it for this Arsecast. I don't have anything more to say about placentas. I don't have anything more to say about Ireland, Thierry Henry, governments, taxes, budgets, or anything like that. I think I'm going to go downstairs and drink another beer. Or maybe two beers. But only after I give you the question to win yourself a Savile Rogue scarf. Because it's coming into winter and we all want to be warm. Nobody wants to be cold. And what better way to keep your neck warm than with a 100% cashmere Savile Rogue scarf? There is no better way. I was waiting for somebody to pipe up there, but I realize there's nobody here. So the question, which Arsenal player at Highbury ran the length of the pitch, more or less, to score a goal against Spurs, then ran the length of the pitch the other way to celebrate in front of the Spurs fans to tell them that they were cunts? Answers by email, please, to competition@arseblog.com. That is competition@arseblog.com. The winner will be announced on next week's Arsecast. If you want to check out SavileRogue.com, you can do that by going to Savile-Rogue.com. And you can see the scarf that you might win on that page. And that's a good Christmas present, I'm telling you. Head along there. So that's about that for this week's Arsecast. Until next week's, have yourselves a great week. Talk to you all week on the blog and, of course, on next week's Arsecast. Until then, bye-bye.
Ah, Mr. Van Persie, hello there. Very nice to meet you. Come on in, sit yourself down there. I have to say I'm a big fan of your work, though I am. Oh God, if I'd left foot half as good as yours, well, I'd probably still be a doctor. That was my calling, you know, but I'd play for a better class of Sunday League team instead of the spackers I do play with. Can I get you something? A cup of tea, coffee, Coca-Cola, cup of tea, Horlicks, banana milk, Lilt. Would you like a Lilt? You wouldn't. Poutine? No, don't suppose Arsene Wenger would like you drinking that. Cup of tea? No? Capri Sun? Oh, you will. Everyone likes Capri Sun, don't they? Here you go. I get from my Capri Sun cupboard over here. Now, I know you've been over to Serbia, having a bit of the old placenta treatment on the ankle, but Oh, I have to tell you, it's not always effective. As you found out for yourself, it's not always an effective treatment. It's a bit mucky, isn't it? You have to admit, a bit on the old dirty side. The old cow's placenta, the baby placenta, the human placenta. Maybe sheep placenta they use. But it doesn't always work. I think it's to do with the type of skin you have around your ankle. Now, I have got a revolutionary new treatment. Now, I have to say, not everybody's doing it. And that's probably why my office is in the back of this alley here. A bit back street. They don't approve, you see. They don't approve. Because when it comes out that this treatment is working, I swear to God, I'm going to be a millionaire. Or a billionaire. One or the other. Anyway, the whole thing, it's like the placenta treatment. You're using human fluids to massage the area that's injured. Now, because these fluids are after coming from inside the body, they go straight back in. They seep in through the pores. Now, the only problem is that the fluid that we need has got to be very, very fresh. It needs to be milked practically straight away. Now, I could do it myself, but for it to be most effective, of course, you've got to be the one to extract that fluid, and then I can massage it into your ankle or anywhere else on you that you might have a little strain, if you know what I mean. Anyway, so you're down with that, are you? You want to get back playing as soon as you possibly can? You do. You do. Brilliant. Okay. Well, here we go. You put that Capri Sun down there. And, right. Well, let's get to it. Robin, where are you going there? Oh. Every time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.